I believe her on. I told you she had a pretty voice. She's my blessing. She's my helpmeet. She's my rock when I'm down. And I love her. She has to put up with me, amen? It is a joy and a privilege to be here this evening. I don't count it lightly any time you fill the pulpit, Pastor. It's they call it a sacred desk, and there's nothing sacred about this, but it's what lays upon it that's sacred. And any time you open that, it's just precious. And I don't take it lightly. But we've been praying for you all ever since Pastor Steve came to Porter's Grove. Just been praying for you all, praying that the Lord would help you all and lead the right man of God here to help your pastor. So it's not an easy work. But when the Lord's in it, right? When the Lord's in it, it's easier than ever. But you pray for your pastor, and I'm sure you do. You know, there's a story about a mother that went to wake her son one morning for church. And when she knocked on his door, he said, "Mom, I'm not going this morning." His mother said, "Why not?" He said, the son said, "I'm not going this morning." The mother said, "Why not?" And he said, "I'll give you two good reasons. One, they don't like me. And two, I don't like them." And the mother replied, "I'll give you two good reasons why you will go to church. One, you're 47 years old. And two, you're the pastor." I pray that's not the case here, Pastor. I'm sure it's not. If you have your Bibles this evening, turn with me to Matthew chapter 21. Man, aren't you glad the Lord is risen?
Amen.
Aren't you glad He's alive? It's like your pastor just spoke a little bit ago about, you know, all you see on TV, commercials is for Easter candy and the Easter bunny. And, you know, all that's cute, all that's good, but that's not the real reason. You know, that's not the reason we're here this evening. But man, I'm thankful He's alive. I'm thankful that stone couldn't hold Him. I'm thankful that the Roman soldiers couldn't keep the stone there. The power of God Almighty, the Holy Spirit of God. I believe just the voice of God had enough to move that stone away. I believe the stone obeyed God. You know?
Amen.
I believe it. I believe God is so powerful that we, you know, sometimes we put Him in a box, try to confine Him. And God's not meant to be put in a box. But that's not the message this evening. I'm just excited. It's Easter. You all had your sunrise service. Matthew chapter 21 this evening. Last Sunday was Passover Sunday. And I had the opportunity last Sunday to preach at a small church out in Ohio. And it was just a blessing. Passover Sunday, the day the Lord rides into Jerusalem. You know, the crowd's crying, "Hosanna, Hosanna. Save us, save us." Could you imagine being there that Sunday, watching Jesus ride into town, the Savior of the world. And here all the people thought He was just going to save them from the Romans, save them from the bondage of taxes. But He had other plans.
Amen.
You know? And He has other plans for us.
Amen.
If you're saved this evening, He has eternal plans for you.
Yes.
Amen? Matthew chapter 21, starting in verse 1, the Bible says, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethpage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Sion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. I want to speak to you a few minutes this evening. My key text would be verse 3. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of. And instead of that them there, I want you to put your name there. The Lord hath need of you. The Lord hath need of Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church. The Lord hath need of Gary Gentry. The Lord hath need of you this evening. The Lord hath need of you. Let's pray this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, we thank you for this resurrection day, God. We thank you for what this day represents. God, we thank you so much that what you did through your Son on the cross of Calvary. God, we thank you that, God, he loved us enough to die for us. God, that he loved us enough to rise the third day for us. God, that he still loves us enough to prepare a mansion for us in glory. God, we thank you that we can meet here this evening and not be persecuted for it. God, we thank you that we have the freedom in the United States of America to worship you. God, I thank you for this church, dear God, that still preaches your precious word. God, that you would, God, bless them in a special way. Bless the pastor here, God. I pray you'd use him for your honor and glory. God, use this church to do great and mighty things for you. God, and I pray that you would speak to us this evening. I pray that these folks wouldn't look to a man up here, but God, that they would look, Lord, to the cross of Calvary. Lord, that they wouldn't hear just me speaking, but God, that they would hear you this evening. God, that you would touch their hearts, their lives this evening. And God, if there's one here this evening, dear God, that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, God, I beg you to convict that heart. God, I pray that you would not let them walk out the back doors of this church without accepting Christ. God, that you would make them feel so uneasy. Lord, that they would even walk the aisle right now as we speak and trust in Jesus. God, I pray that you would use this message that you've given to me to speak to your people. God, use us tonight in your name. Amen. Amen. The Lord hath need of you. You see, this Sunday many years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ himself used an insignificant donkey, a colt, to enter into Jerusalem, the Holy of Holies, the holy city, during the week of Passover. May I remind you that donkeys were used in the Old Testament by kings who were bringing peace, while horses were used for those who were going to army. You see, Jesus rode into Jerusalem that Sunday on a donkey saying, I bring peace. And the crowd was crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, save us! Because they wanted him to be the king on earth, to save them from the Romans. But he said, I bring peace. I come on a lowly donkey. Jesus was the bringer of peace, and he uses that which is insignificant to the world. Oh, but that which is very significant to God.
Amen.
You see, well, God uses fallible man like me. Insignificant to the world, but of all so much honor and glory to God. You see, the Lord hath need of you this evening. He has need of all of us here this evening. I want to look at three things this evening that I believe we need to be so the Lord can use us. So the Lord can hath need of us and that we can be that need. We can meet that need. See, the first thing I see that we need to be is we need to be ready. We need to be ready. You see, this donkey was prepared. The Bible says here that Jesus fulfilled the prophecy that was spoken in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. The Bible says, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt the foal of an ass. You see, Matthew chapter 21, verse 5 is fulfilling of that prophecy. You see, if we believe this Bible is true, if we believe what Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 says back there, that prophecy was fulfilled when Jesus came to Jerusalem riding upon that donkey. You see, if Jesus wouldn't have fulfilled that, if he would have came on a horse or anything else, it wouldn't have fulfilled the prophecy. But he did. He obeyed God. And may I say, listen, we need to be ready. But in order to be ready, we got to be prepared. You see, this donkey was prepared. You see, we must be prepared in order to be used by God. We need to be prepared. You see, so many of us prepared Easter dinners this afternoon. We prepared for family gatherings. We prepare for homecoming. We prepare for this. We prepare for that. But how often do we prepare for the service of the Lord? How often do we prepare for the things of God? How often do we prepare for when He comes and takes us to glory? We need to be prepared. We need to be prepared this evening. Not only should we be prepared, but we need to be pure. You see, this donkey was pure. You know what that means? The Bible says that no one had ever rode on this colt. No one had ever ridden on this colt. Jesus' words are recorded in Mark chapter 11, verse 2, when he says that two of his disciples, he says, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied. And look what it says, Whereon never a man sat. Loose him and bring him. No one had ever sat on this donkey. It was being saved for the precious Lord Jesus Christ. It was pure. You see, we need to be pure in order to be used by God.
Amen.
You see, the Lord has need of you this evening. And the devil wants to tell you that you're too sinful. You're too sinful. The devil wants you to look back at your past and everything that you've done, and he'll tell you you're not pure. But if your sins are under the blood this evening, you are pure.
Amen?
Amen? But we need to be pure. You need to be saved this evening to be used by God. Those sins need to be washed, whiter than snow. We need to be ready to be used by God. We need to be prepared. We need to be pure. You know, if there's one thing I see in this world, it's impure. If you turn on your TV for 5 seconds, you'll see filth. You can't even watch a commercial without turning it off. It's filth. It's not pure. And the devil uses that to come into our homes, into our lives, and into our minds. And before you know it, it's hard to filter the Word of God because of all the filth, the impure thoughts that we have. We need to be pure. We need to be prepared. You see, this donkey needed to be broken in. May I say tonight, I believe we need to be broken in, Pastor. When's the last time we were broken for a lost loved one? When's the last time we've been broken for souls to walk to the aisle and get saved? When's the last time we were broken for our missionaries, those who carry the cross to those who we can't? When's the last time we've been broken for those struggling with alcohol and sin and family members that just we know aren't right with God? But instead we cast judgment and say, they need to get right with God. And they do. But how are they going to get right with God without us being broken for them? You know, I believe we need to shed some tears in America. I believe we need to be a country that, as it used to be, was founded on the Word of God. America used to be a pure country. She's wavered far from it. May I say that's entered our churches? A lot of our churches anymore are so cold-hearted. They welcome the devil more than they welcome Jesus Christ Himself. Folks, we need to be pure. We need to be broken. We need to be broken for souls. It should bother us when people aren't walking this aisle and getting saved. It should bother us when visitors aren't coming in. It should bother us when we don't pass out a gospel tract. It should bother us. We should be broken for not witnessing. Why do you think Jesus said, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel, teaching all nations? Because he was broken. I believe Jesus looked over the city of Jerusalem and the Bible says what? He wept. Why? Because he was broken. When's the last time we were broken? We need to be broken. See this donkey? An insignificant donkey, but yet it had to be broken. The Lord Jesus Christ, He'll do some breaking in if you'll let Him. He'll break you in to where you'll be a vessel that can be used and molded and formed just to what He wants you to be if you'll let Him. You need to be pure. We need to be fit for the Master's use. A vessel of honor. Not only do we need to be ready, but we need to be willing. Willing. That's something you don't hear anymore. I'm willing. I spoke, Brother Haynes came in. I was asking him about his son. I heard somebody over at Porter's Grove had told me he was in Guam. He was willing. He was willing to go to the Navy for his country. We need to be willing to do some things for the Lord. We need to be willing. You know, one thing I find with willing, you can't be willing if you're not obedient. We need to be obedient. You know, this donkey had never been ridden on. I don't know animals a lot. Your pastor probably does more than I know. But there's one thing I know about animals. If they've never been ridden, if no one's ever sat on that animal, and you put your legs across that animal, and put your weight on it, what's going to happen? That animal is going to try to buck you off like there's no tomorrow. He's going to do anything he can to try to get you off. You know what I see? That's how we as Christians are. So often God says, are you willing? We'll say, yeah, I'm willing, God. But what happens? God, get off my back. Get off my back, God. No, I can't do that. I was there. Get off my back, God. Somebody else can do that. Nowhere in the Bible do I read that this donkey that was never ridden on, nowhere does the Bible ever say that it ever tried to buck Jesus Christ off. You know why? Because Jesus is not only the master of the sea, He's the master of the soul. You know, if you'll just be willing and obedient to Him, and let Him have full reins of your life, and not try to buck him off because it might get uncomfortable. It'll be the best ride of your life. You see, this donkey was obedient. It didn't try to shake him off. It didn't try to buck him off. It didn't go stir crazy and go in circles and do whatever animals do because they don't like it. It was obedient. And this evening the Lord says, I have need of you. He says, are you ready? Are you willing? Are you going to be obedient, or are you going to try to buck him off? Are you going to try to shake him off tonight? You see, I don't know, but I know in my life the Lord's worked on me. Probably every church service, he speaks to me in a different way. I need you to do this. Gary, I need you to witness to that person. Lord, I just don't have time. Shake him off again. Get off my back, God. He says, you're not broken, son. You're not broken. We need to be broken. We need to quit trying to shake God off. We need to be obedient. Jesus, the one who can calm the storms of life, calm this donkey to where the donkey was so subtle and smooth and just did whatever the master asked. I wonder if that could be said of you this evening. I wonder if Jesus would say that, Gary, he's been willing, he's been obedient, and he's been ready. I wonder if God were to examine our hearts and lives right now, if he'd be able to say that. Are you willing? If you're going to be willing, it's going to take obedience, but it's also going to take humbleness. Humbleness. You see, donkeys are humble animals. They're humble. And Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a lowly donkey. Listen, Jesus could have picked, how they measure horses? Hands. That's right, hands. Jesus could have picked, what's a good horse? How many hands? 17 hands is a good horse. Jesus could have picked a black stallion, 17 hands high. But he picked a lowly donkey. You know why, I believe? If he picked a 17-hand black stallion, everybody would be looking up like this. Jesus, Jesus. But he picked a lowly donkey so that when he came through town, he could look right at you. And he could say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Humble. Jesus picked the insignificant donkey because it was humble. Jesus says, I am meek and humble. But so often, Pastor, what do we find? We become selfish and prideful. If any of you have Facebook in here, you know that. I'm not against selfies, trust me, I'm not. Well, I probably am, because I would never take a selfie of myself. I would never take a selfie of myself. But we live in such a prideful generation that so many selfies. It's all about us. It's all about us. Shouldn't be that way. We need to be humble before God Almighty. We need to be humble. Humble. Meek and lowly. Not the black stallion drawing all the attention to ourselves, but meek and lowly. Just carrying the Lord Almighty, being willing, obedient, humble for God's use. You see, this evening God says, I have need of you. He needs you. There's some people in your lives that I would never get to meet. And they may never hear the gospel of Jesus Christ if you're not willing. If you're not humble and say, Lord, I'll talk to him. Quit trying to shake God off and say somebody else can do it, because what if it's too late and nobody else ever gets to? You need to be broken. for the sins of this world. We need to be broken, but we need to be humble. 1 Peter 5, 6 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God." Why? "That He may exalt you in due time." You know what? Jesus says, if you humble yourself like that donkey that carried me into Jerusalem, one day, I will exalt you in due time. You know what He's going to do for you? He's going to give you a crown of crowns that you can place at His feet. He's preparing a mansion for you in glory. That ought to be enough to make your socks fly off. But yet, we're not ready. We're not willing to do anything. And He says, "I have need of you tonight. I have need of you." Quit trying to shake Him off. Quit trying to shake Him off this evening. You know what else I see about this animal? A donkey moves slow and steady. Slow and steady. It doesn't draw any attention to itself. You know, that's how we need to be. Doing God's work at a steady pace, faithfully. You see, He could have chose that black stallion, holding its head up high, prancing through town, every step, trot, I believe that's what they do, trot or whatever. You know what I mean. Proudful, boastful. "Look at me. I'm the man." He said, "No. A lowly donkey. I have need of you, the insignificant, but also significant to God." See, not only must we need to be ready, not only do we need to be willing, but you probably know my last word. We need to be able. Ready, willing, and able. Three simple words, just an illustration. We need to be able. Able to what? Able to carry the load. To carry the load. You see, that lowly donkey had to carry the Lord Jesus Christ through Jerusalem. And the night the Lord says, "I have need of you to carry the load." You see, He gave the church a task to do. But He said, "Oh, by the way, I'll leave the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, which indwells every one of you if you're saved tonight." And that Holy Spirit is what enables you to carry the load. That's why Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light." You see, we can't do it without Jesus. We can't do it. The Bible says, "Except the Lord build the church, they that labor in vain." Except the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain. If you try to build this church without the Lord Jesus Christ, you're doing it in vain. We can't do it without Jesus Christ. Why? Because what did He tell Peter? He said, "Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church." And what? "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." You see, we get so worried about gay rights and all these other rights. May I tell you something? There is no right that the government can come up with that will ever stop the church of Jesus Christ. You know why? Because Jesus said the gates of hell themselves will not prevail against it. There's nothing that will ever stop the church until He raptures it. That's exciting. That's exciting, folks. Amen. Amen. We need to get excited about the things of God. But you need to be able. The Lord says, "I have need of you tonight." But He says, you need to be able to carry that load. You need to be able. Your pastor can't carry it alone. The deacons can't carry it all. The Bible says that we need to be of one accord. working together for the cause of Christ. What happens in churches? Right side's against the left side. Left side's against the right side. Why? You know, maybe we ought to take the center aisle out anymore, Pastor, you know? Take the center aisle out. So everybody can sit in unison. That's how the church is going to get ahead. When everybody's working together, carrying the load of Jesus Christ, trying to get His work done. See, I don't know the statistics of Charlestown and Northeast, but I'd say there's a lot of people. There's a lot of empty seats here tonight. You know what that should do? It should break us. It should break us. It should give us a burden. I was coming through Rising Sun and I saw the van. Charlestown, Missionary Baptist Church. So I'm like, look at that. They're running a van Easter Sunday night. Praise God. Amen. Porter's Grove ain't even having church. Don't record this. Don't record that. running a church van, man. Praise God. We need to be able to carry the load. For thousands of years, the donkeys have been the original beast of burden. You know what they did all their lives? They carried people and people's things. You know what God asked us to do? Carry people and people's things. You say, man, that person's got a lot of baggage. Yeah, they might. But what about when that person kneels at that altar and God starts to clean some of that baggage up and they empty a whole box of tissues getting right with God? Amen? We need to be able to carry that load. We can't do it without God Almighty. But we need to be able to carry the load and we need to be able to complete the task. You see, it was an uphill journey to Jerusalem. The Bible says that Jerusalem was a city set on a hill. This donkey had to go uphill. You know what that is? The Lord hath need of you tonight, but yet it's not going to be an easy task. Amen. It's going to be an uphill battle. I believe that one of the first person to ever climb Mount Everest was asked, why in the world do you want to climb that mountain? It wasn't for the fame. It wasn't for to say that he did it. You know his reason? He said some views are only attainable at the top. He saw a view that no one else had ever seen. And may I say, if we complete the task of the Lord Almighty, when we get the glory, when we get to the top of that mountain, there's going to be some views that we'll never have dreamed of seeing. But only if we complete the task. If we complete the task. You see, even through the commotion of the crowd, never once did this donkey waver. You see, so often, we go through life. We'll do what God wants. But when the commotion gets too loud, we start looking to the right hand, to the left, and we take our focus off of Christ, and we waver. And God says, no. Straight is the way. Straight. This donkey didn't look. The crowd was throwing stuff down, waving all those branches. Not only was this donkey never ridden, so it should have been bucking and snorting and hollering, but I guarantee it never experienced the commotion that it heard that day. But yet it completed the task of carrying our Lord Jesus Christ through that holy city, even through the crying and the commotion of that crowd. So often, when the battle gets hard, when the devil fights the hardest, we waver. We want to give up. We want to throw in the towel. We want to quit carrying the load. And Jesus says, if you just do it a little longer, we're almost at the destination. We're almost there. Complete the task tonight. Complete the task. Are you ready? Are you willing? And are you able to carry the load to complete the task?